Welcome to In Moderation,
the show where we give you a moderate dose of info, sarcasm, and we already know we're not approved.
Welcome to episode 31 of In Moderation, and we're here with somebody who's wearing our merch because he's cool like that. Look at that. Look at that.
To everyone listening, can you see what he's wearing?
To all of you who can read backwards.
All of the audio giving you that visual imprint on your brain, right?
Yeah, on this episode, we have Mike Pigeon. How you doing?
Oh, there it is. Never heard that one before.
How's it going, everybody? It's Pigeon. So close. It's so close to Pigeon. I want it to be Pigeon. Pigeon's not that
bad. You just
bad.
Have to take like, that no, R it's out not there.
That was the only thing that the high school kids had against me. Like, Pigeon. I'm like, really?
That's it's not, what you it's got really not that bad. I yeah. like it. I would just go by that. If it was me, if I like a nickname, like, hey, Pigeon. Like, that's not, okay, are they rats
what
with
if
wings?
We, what if we like roll the R? Like, Pigeon.
Ooh, that's fancy. I'm an exotic bird. Yeah. I'll take that one.
Yes. How you doing, Mike? What's up?
It's been fantastic. I am a little bit hungry, though, if you guys don't mind if I just have a snack really quick. I just want to...
I knew it had to be something weird. I'm telling you, I don't know how people like banana Laffy Taffy. Like, I love bananas. I eat lots of bananas. It doesn't taste like bananas. And people say it's supposed to be like the old banana, the gross Michelle or whatever it was. But like, I looked into it. That there's no evidence for that. There's no supporting evidence for that, really. So I just feel like it tastes terrible. Like they just made a terrible tasting candy.
Well, you already know we don't need supporting evidence to make claims on the internet anymore.
This is true. You can pretty much just say whatever you want.
That's not a prerequisite. Yeah, these are not something that I want to have in moderation or at all. I just wanted to eat this on the stream.
You just wanted to troll us.
Yeah. It's okay. I will give you this. It is the only one that is soft enough to really eat. The other ones are kind of hard. So like that's the only thing it has going for it. But whatever softness probably causes it to be soft is probably what makes it taste absolutely horrible. And I don't get it. I don't get how people like it. It will never make sense to me.
Well, I don't get how people like bananas, so.
Oh, I've got some bananas I can grab, too, if you want to. I can eat these on stream, too.
Well, Liam, you're doing this episode on your own.
Later, guys. Later. Banana. There you go.
I will say, though, every time I take a bite of one of these banana Laffy Taffys, my blood glucose meter that I've not gotten prescribed by a doctor, but that I bought online, is spiking because I'm eating food. So I'm going to start shaping my diet around that.
That's another person I get tagged in all the time is the guy who just eats random things and tests his blood meter. I'm just like, what do you want me to do? Like, what do I do with it? Like, sure. Yeah. If he just wants to eat random food and then just test his blood glucose, sure. Go right ahead. Have fun with that, I guess. I don't know.
Pro tip. It's eating almost like spikes your blood glucose. Yeah. No matter what. You eat anything, your blood glucose is going to go up. That's your body's reaction to it. Now, some things will spike it a little more or a little less. But if you're trying to go for like a flat line, you've got to die.
It's just like, eat nothing.
Yeah, nothing. But there's people that'll say that's good too.
So weird. Well, anyway, now that we have you on the podcast, Mike, I guess we should give us a little background to your story. Like, because you do social media as well. That's how we met. What do you talk about mostly?
I don't know. You're going to ask me questions. People are going to dox me now.
On a podcast. I know. It rarely happens.
Well, I lost 110 pounds a lot of times. So, you know, I say 110 top. It's not top to bottom. It's up and down and up and down and up and down. I probably lost like 600-700 pounds all in. And when you ask just about anybody, that's what they're going to say is, you know, I lost this amount of weight, but really they've gone up and down and up and down and up and down. So I'm most proud of keeping that weight off. I'm not interested in the fastest way to get down. I'm not interested in the quickest way or the most optimal way. I'm interested in the way that keeps me down because I'm tired of going back up. Yeah. So now I help other people do the same thing, and I do so through kindness. And
I like that.
Reframing negative self-talk, because a lot of us have that negative internal monologue that bogs us down. It's one of the things that manifests as weight on our bodies is negative self-talk. Now, it sounds a little bit wooey and all that kind of stuff, but if you watch my stuff, I'm not looking for like affirmations or anything. It's more so like, how can we apply these practical changes, like the stuff you guys talk about, without it leading to eating disorder behavior and hatred and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So you're not on the internet to scare people?
No, I will never peddle fear. It's
Well, then you're never going to make any money. What can I tell you?
No, not at all.
No,
it's no. I am certainly not approved the way that I go about things, especially with.
Wait, this well, you guys, what? You're not getting the big pharma money? I've been getting anyway. It doesn't matter. That's not important, Mike. So, like,
well, I'm not on opendoctor.com. I don't have to. So,
socialized medicine, Liam. I I'm sorry.
I'd love to get through. What about so? You know, you said it goes up and down, right? So I'd love to kind of just maybe start from like the beginning and get to kind of where you are now, right? You know, because I'm sure a lot of people have made similar mistakes. So, you know, when you started, like initially you were like, okay, I want to lose some weight. You know, kind of what was your mindset? What were you looking into? What did you find? Give us a little overall on that.
So people will ask me how I started and they'll expect that I had some kind of horrible revelation waking up with barbecue sauce all over my shirt in the middle of the night. It's, you know, 300 pounds, something like that. Like, oh my God, I have to make a change.
What did I eat last night?
I never want to feel this way again. It honestly was sort of an offhanded decision. I was handed a bottle of kefir probiotic, which to those not familiar, it's like yogurt's evil twin, by a friend who was similarly rotund to me. And he had said, you know, this helps with cravings. And up till that point, I hadn't considered that the way I was eating was me satisfying craving. That was just the way that I ate. Hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I tried it and it made me sick because it's disgusting. So in that sense, it helped. It's fizzy yogurt that's like watered down. It's awful.
It's like apple cider vinegar. You know, you don't. Yeah, you'll lose weight if you drink apple cider vinegar. It tastes like ass and makes you nauseous.
Nothing better for weight loss than being nauseous.
No, it'll make you sick to death. Yeah. So obviously not the way to go about it because I gained weight back 20 more times after that. But
right.
It sort of triggered the idea in my mind that I had control over the shape of my body. I'm like, you know, I am a little bit chubby. I could lose some weight. And I started by cutting out all of my food and biking for 30 miles a day. It was not eating disorder behavior at that point. I just thought that's what you
were cutting anything
to do.
Out specifically? Was it just like, I'm just eating less? Or were you like, food. Okay, I'm getting rid of quote unquote all the bad stuff, like that sort of thing?
It was kind of just like food in general. I was not eating very much at all. And at that point, with all that weight on my body, I was like kind of fine in the beginning. And some people can get tricked in the very beginning because you can survive without food for a little while. Your body can handle it. It's just not optimal and it's not going to last long. And I found that out the hard way. I lost maybe 35 pounds that summer. And then September rolled around. It got a little too cold. You know, remember when it used to get cold? And I had to go back inside and I put the weight back on. And that was the first time that I was struggling mentally negatively with my weight, was when the weight came back on. I didn't quite realize up till that point that you can regain it.
You don't have to go super deep into it, but did you get kind of feelings like, oh, this like as like a failure? Like, wow, you know, I lost all this weight and now I'm putting it back on. Did you kind of have this like screw it moment and then you started eating more? Like just kind of, you know, what was it like?
First off, anyone who's coming here following me, you already have seen me cry probably two times this week. So I get real deep into it. You can ask me anything. But yeah, it was really rough. I was like, fuck it. Yeah, I'm just going to eat whatever. Mm-hmm. I was drinking soda like an alcoholic at that point. Hmm. It was rough. Like I had given myself kidney stones a couple of times and
kidney stones suck.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're terrible. Super, super bad. So it was, I turned back cause I'm like, well, I may as well just go back to the way I was living before. Cause at least I was happy then. And I had conflated that happiness with just the absence of the joy that I was having in my current situation right then.
Yeah, I think that sums up nicely why so many diets fail right there.
And you kind of look back on those times. You're like, oh, I had all that food. I was happier then. We always have, you know, I don't know. We kind of look through the rose colored glasses, right? You look through the past like, oh, I was happier back then. That's tough. So what then? So then your kind of next step, was it like after the winter that you were like, okay, let me try this again. Like, did you do the same thing after that?
Pretty much, yeah. That started what I call spring cleaning, which is the cycle that I try to break people out of now, which is, you know, it's starting to come back around. The year ends, the holidays are behind us, and we're like, okay, now there's not a lot of eating holidays in front of me. I'm going to start trying to get in shape again. And that bug tended to hit me around like February, March every year. So I'm like, spring cleaning. And yeah, I was kind of doing the same thing. I didn't change anything about the approach because in my mind, I had lost 35 pounds.
Right. It worked
the first time. Yeah, it worked. Right. Just like keto works. You know, intermittent fasting works. It's just how long are you going to do it and how is it going to stick around? So I just went back to doing the same thing I had done before.
And was your mindset at that point kind of like, okay, I'm going to do it again, but this time I'm just not going to fuck up this time. I'm just going to always do it. And I'm not going to do what I did last time at the end.
Yeah. Last time I just wasn't dedicated enough. Right. You know, time I just didn't do it right. I got to do it more this time. I got to do it. And you know, it always starts out with the best of intentions. Sometimes as we go on, you'll see it does not always start with the best of intentions because that cycle can only happen so many times before you're just doing it to spite yourself. And that's where I was. You know, you fast forward a couple of years and I'm once again, after I've tried like some real diets, so to speak, air quotes, big air quotes for those listening on Spotify.
Oh, they heard it. Don't worry.
Yeah. it was bad. I tried the keto. If carnivore was around at that point, I would have done it. I tried some of the off the shelf Walmart supplements, which are just basically diuretics, not doing anything.
Did you watch any videos? Were you into like, ooh, yeah, you can lose weight this fast by taking these pills and then you go pick them up? Or like, was it just kind of like, I'll just grab random shit and hope it works, see what happens?
At that point, I feel like the scammer culture has either, maybe I'm just more in tune to it now, but I don't think it was as permeable as it is. Like, I don't think it was as involved in the culture as it is currently, where we didn't have Bobbies. We had them like online, but
maybe because on TV. It was more like, I feel like more before it was on like more maybe YouTube and that sort of stuff. And now with these short form platforms, you know, you don't choose kind of what you watch. It's kind of just given to you, you know, yeah. Right? So it's just you're flipping through and then just something pops up and it catches your eye. Like, oh, I've been trying to lose weight and this person lost 20 pounds of poop in like 2 days. So like, let me try that. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me pick those. I keep getting tagged in these videos, these like rectal cleanses or whatever the fuck they are. I don't know. And people like ask, what, talk about this? I'm like, they lost a fuck ton of poop. Like, what do you want? Like, it's a laxative. What do you want?
So. You will lose weight. It's just not fat weight. And you're going to feel skinnier because, there's just a whole bunch of crap sitting in your colon right now.
I'm kind of curious for you. Like, when did you – was there kind of a moment where you're like, okay, wait a second. Some of this is weight and some of this is fat, and I'm sort of figuring out the difference between the two of them.
I didn't figure that out until I had overshot my goal weight by 10 pounds without noticing that I had done it.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah, there are pictures and, you know, I don't know if you've got a video component of this. I listen on Spotify. You could flash the picture up. I'll send it to you. I am skeletal at this point. I'm 6'3", just for reference. I was 155 pounds.
Yeah.
That's not good. Wow. In short, not good. Yeah, Rob's eyes just like...
Yeah, no, the lowest I ever got was 170-ish. Like that was, and that got pretty lean at like 170, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm the same height, so like, yeah, that's pretty damn lean.
Yeah, imagine 155 on you; it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
So, and I've got this big round head, and that doesn't shrink when you lose weight. So I've got this giant bobblehead over a stick body.
Interesting.
And I'm looking at myself now. That summer, I had gone on with the best of intentions. I said, I'm just going to eat a little bit less. I'm going to move a little bit more, and I'm not going to weigh myself. The weight will come off when it comes off. And you'd think that's a great way to go about it. I went back to the first way that I was losing weight. I was walking like 6 hours a day. I was barely eating anything. And I thought I was fat the whole time. And you'll see, I'll send you the picture afterward. I am not, there's not an ounce of fat on my body at that point. And I weighed myself the day that I took that picture and I was devastated because I had overshot my goal weight by 10 pounds. I was always aiming for 165, which I had hit 4 times prior. And if the goal weight's ever going to fix you, then you would have stayed there, but it doesn't. So I remember taking that picture and trying to smile through it because I wanted my after picture to match it. Cause afterwards I just broke down crying.
Yeah.
It was me realizing that the number going down was never going to make me happier.
Yeah, that's something I see a lot. We equate happiness with the scale, and we just think if we lose, for a lot of people, it is. You think if you lose weight, you're just going to feel better. But like,
once, I think that's a prime example right there. You get to a point you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I went too far.
And I checked the BMI chart, like just to see where am I supposed to be? What's my roundabout range? And it was like, hey, stop. I think my BMI range was stopped.
Just was in big red letters, like you've gone too far.
It was like, don't do this anymore. You're going to float away, but like it's even, it took on the shitty relative comments. You're going to float away if you get too light. So that's where I was. And that's kind of, that was the genesis of realizing like, I need to do something different. I can't have a goal date anymore. I can't have a goal range. I just need to be healthy, whatever that costs and however long it takes.
Interesting. And so what was your plan after that? What did you just like, okay, I'm going to eat a little bit more and move a little bit less. Was that your goal?
Kind of. Yeah. Well, at that point it was getting to be like September-ish again. And my thought process at that point, because we know what happens as the fall comes around, I'm going to gain weight if I'm not careful. So how am I going to do this in a way that is sustainable, in a way that's going to benefit me, in a way that's controlled? Because you know, I see people putting on muscle. Obviously, that's got to be weight, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the first time ever that I had tracked calories. I'd never tracked calories before.
So that whole time when you were like going up and down and losing weight, you were just like, I'm eating less, I'm moving more. That's my plan.
I lost 100% of my weight without tracking calories. Now, mind you, that's like... You know, I'll often conflate this to if I were to offer either of you a $50 bill right now, no catch, would you take it?
Oh, 50 of just like, hey, here's 50 bucks?
Yeah, here you go. It's your birthday.
I don't care how much money I make. There's always 50 bucks. Sure. I'm sure I can find something to base
Happy
$50
birthday,
for.
Both of you. Yeah.
That's like my entire year salary on TikTok.
Thanks, Creator Fund. we're all struggling right now. Let me rephrase that a little bit. Now, Rob, you don't have kids, right?
No, just a cat. But,
yeah, which is kind of a kid, you know. Now, Liam, you do, though she's not quite old enough to be in this example yet. But a kid walks up to you with a $50 bill, and you can't explain where it came from.
Oh, would I take $50 from a child?
Not take it from them, but now you're like... This isn't a good thing anymore.
Do
Why
they have
do you
a
have
Cockney
$50?
Accent?
Yes.
That is very important. But especially no if they have a Cockney accent, because I assume they're poor and that they've got it somewhere. I don't know. Sorry to all the Cockney accent people.
It's, when a kid suddenly has $50 and you can't figure out where it came from, you start panicking. And you have to figure out, like, did this come from somewhere? Did you steal this? Did you earn it? There's a lot of not good possibilities for a child having $50 for something that would ordinarily be a good
man
thing.
In a white van give it to you.
Yeah. Like, there's not a good possibility there. So that was kind of the way that I look at my weight loss, was like I kept finding $50, but I couldn't explain where it came from. So it wasn't a solid income source, and also was a little bit suspicious. Where is this coming from? Is this good that I have it? The answer ultimately at the end was no, because the way that I lost it was, this is like probably the most uplifting episode you guys have ever had, isn't it?
Most of the time
it's definitely
just
the quietest Liam's been.
it's usually me just yelling about some video I've seen or some bullshit. Like, it's always something.
Yeah. Weight loss is depressing as shit, everybody. Like, that's why I want to try to inject kindness and compassion into the thing. It's like weight loss should just be a side effect of making your life better.
I like that.
So then you got to that point where you overshot your weight. Were you able then to climb back up into the weight you are now, and then you were able to stabilize from there? Is that kind of how it finished off?
So at that point, I was like, I need to figure out how to keep my weight where it is, which at that point, I didn't know quite how dangerous that might have been at that weight. But I just wanted to figure out if I could stay one size and not go up or down. So thus began the experiments of like, I'm going to weigh myself every day and just use it as a data point and figure out how many calories it takes for me to stay here. And then I'll start going up, because I didn't want to start putting on weight and not know how fast it was coming, how many installments of $50 I was getting, how quickly. And eventually it just got to a point where I'm like, I know what my body requires to stay where I am. I had never considered weight as being like a one thing. It was always up or down.
Right, because you always had a goal before then. You always had like, I'm just trying to lose weight. So I just move more, I eat less. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. Right. So
that's all it was. It was the weight's either going up or it's going down.
So you don't count calories. Do you count calories now?
I track sometimes. Depends on what my goals are. There are times where I just sort of fall out of it, and I'm so in tune with my hunger signals now that it doesn't bother me or affect me.
Yeah, because
Use it as a tool to, if you start drifting, make sure you bring yourself back.
Right. Because that was my question, is like, when you started to count calories, were you able to just kind of, roughly eyeball things in the future after that? Because I find that's true for a lot of people. You start counting calories for a little bit and you realize, oh, this is roughly how many calories in this and that. And I can kind of put things together. And
I can just kind of coast
from there, if you will.
That's the reason we track. The scale, the kitchen scale, is not an accountability system. It's an educational tool. Right. It teaches you how much food you're supposed to be consuming. It teaches you because they say limit your portions, make your portion sizes smaller. What the fuck does that mean? No one tells us, because what that meant to me in the very beginning was don't eat anything. That's limiting my portion
sizes,
right?
You're eating too much. You need to eat less. That's basically it.
So yeah, eat less, move more, obviously, is like the aerial view of the whole thing. But like, we have to look closer, because eating less and moving more is what I did for 5.5 years, and it damn near killed me.
Right.
Had I not stopped, it would have been awful.
Yeah, that leads to the people that think they have to do the severe restrictions, and people going down to 1,200 calories, 1,000 calories.
Can we talk about the 1,200 calorie myth for a second?
Yeah, the 1,200 calorie is something to see a lot.
Do you know where that came from?
Where it originated from? I don't know.
Yeah. It's the first recorded evidence we have is 19th century medicine, when they were still treating the ick with cocaine and leeches. If you went to the doctor's office, that's what
wellness is all about.
That's all it is. Are those approved?
Cocaine makes you feel better. I'll give you that. I mean, holy shit.
It's, if you went to the doctor's office and they said, hold on, we're cryogenically unfreezing your doctor from the 19th century right now, would you want to have that doctor, or would you demand someone from today?
Is my question, because if they're really imbalanced, then I want the old timey doctor. Otherwise,
with the big twirly mustaches.
I'm just thinking about all the wellness people that would be like, yeah, let's go with the 19th century guy.
They really would. That's the thing. There is a couple of people listening to us right now, and they're like, oh, they're going to give me a tube full of bees to cure my hysteria. Awesome. Let's go
put you upside down and shake you. So like, what was the they were 1200 calories came from the 19th century? Like, what?
Yeah, that was the first time we have it recorded, when we didn't have calorimeters at that point. We were just basically kind of figuring stuff out. And it was also based on nothing, because they were developing hand washing at the same time the 1200 calorie diet came around. And then fast forward to the 1920s, who does that get set out to? Who are we pushing the 1200 calorie diet on? Women. Because it works.
Right.
Brings you down, makes you have a slimmer figure, keeps you pregnant in the kitchen. It's not good though. And we're still doing it now. And I'm sick of it. I'll spend the rest of my life.
1,200 calories is like for like a child, like a small child could definitely. That seems like a decent number.
Yeah. So if you're a small child or a little dog, first off, like, go enjoy life. Stop listening to podcasts right now. This is for adults, depressed adults. We're all dying here right now. Go out there while you still have serotonin in your brain. But yeah, it's not, unless you're like 3 feet tall, don't do it.
Yeah. But I think just a lot of people get to the point where they think they need 1,200 calories because they've tried a lot of things and it hasn't worked. You know, eventually you're just like, well, okay, screw it. I just need to go for the nuclear option and just eat basically nothing.
They tend to be bad at counting calories. Like, these people who think they're doing 1,200 and they're saying they're gaining weight, you're not doing 1,200.
Yeah, I do see a lot of people say, like, I gain weight at 1,200 calories. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be, a dick here. But, like, if you are actually in 1,200 calories, I find it near impossible that you're gaining weight.
Unless you have some sort of really rare condition, your body, just by default, just to exist, is going to use at least 1,400 for a small woman.
And I think maybe here's the thing, like, for a lot of people, maybe they are eating 1,200 calories for a few days, and then maybe the other few days they eat 3,000 or whatever it is.
go nuts on the weekend.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
It's like because trying to hold your
people
breath.
Think a calorie deficit is just like it resets. Like it resets every day or something, like, you know, it's over the weeks, months, year. Like it's just constant. It's just a constant thing. Mm.
It's like, you know, how the Grand Canyon is formed. It's one drop at a time. Yeah, it's not going to all pop up at once. It's you have to keep sending water through there and slowly it will erode and go away. That's the way that it is.
So, I mean, then now I'm kind of curious, like then when you started counting calories, like what were some things that you found that were like helpful for you in just kind of maintaining your weight, like either thought process or like in terms of food, just like, you know, what helped?
Well, my thought process then, and this is something that I still help people with to this very day, is understanding that I am a work in progress, and that's not only okay, but that's the best thing I've ever done for myself, is just allow myself to continue to be a work in progress, because one, it takes the pressure off. How great is it to not have a deadline? And two, how great is it to not know how great I will eventually be? So that was something that I developed pretty quickly, was like, it started off in spite. It started off as like, I'm never going to finish this, so I may as well just keep going. And that eventually spiraled into it being positive. It's like, oh, I'm getting good things out of this. So why not just keep going?
I think slowly becoming better at living.
I like that.
Yeah, I think taking the pressure off, I think that's one of the most important things for people, because they just feel so much pressure in order to achieve whatever goal they set for themselves. And a lot of times that goal that they set for themselves is pretty extreme. So just be like, hey, yeah, I'm human. Like, it's fucking fine. Like, oh, shit, I failed. Oh, well, it's whatever.
I had a bad day. I have 5,000 more days.
Yeah,
we're all good.
Exactly.
We have a lot of days. Chances are most of the people listening to us right now are going to live longer than 14 days or 21 days or, you know, whatever these programs are like. You got to lose all the weight in a month. No, you don't. For what? Took you years to put it on. No,
they get shorter. We used to be in like the 21 days. I feel like now it's like you have to lose a certain amount of time in like a week. Like a week is kind of the max. So then you just need to shit your brains out.
Everything's like, I lost 7 pounds in 7 days.
I tell you, if I cut out all carbs in my diet, lost all of my glycogen, which holds onto water, and then just did a full-on colon cleanse, I'd lose a fistful of
laxatives.
I could lose a ton of weight. I used to
start my diets with laxatives. Anytime I would go back into that spring cleaning phase, I'd start with laxatives. I had this colon cleanse smoothie. It was despicable, guys. Yeah, I don't remember the recipe anymore. I'm glad it's lost time.
I hope the colon cleanse came after the smoothie, not before the smoothie. Like, it wasn't the ingredient, right?
No. Well, no. Jeez. Hey, I mean, if we're going back to nausea being the cure for overeating, that's
a good start. Yeah.
Drinking my own duty. Non-recommended, probably also not approved. I think we could all agree on that, the four of us.
Yeah, but I feel like, I mean, I've seen the drinking the urine thing. We're not that far.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got, was it Breca or Asprey that was like injecting their own urine?
It was Asprey. Breca is probably not far behind, but
no.
Asprey for now.
Well, he's too busy eating his own ass. I don't even know if he'd have time to drink his pee.
No, Breca, sorry, no, Asprey was injecting your urine. You don't drink it, because that's stupid. You inject your urine. That makes a lot more sense. We're not joking, by the way. Like, no, I'm 100% serious. Like, that was a real thing.
God, that's just like, I laugh because if I don't, then it's going to kill me by secondhand sepsis.
You laugh, Liam yells. So I just, you know, put my head down on my cat cry.
So yeah, like what? So then, like, how was your like coasting after you decided to not inject your own urine or, you know, completely blow out your rectum? Like, what?
Well,
was,
I still do
that.
I still inject my own urine. That's part of my everyday. after that, it just, everything got easier because there was no deadline. I could try things out. If something didn't work, it's cool. It didn't work. I'll try something else. And I have slowly, between then and now, it's been about almost 2 years now, built the plan that I have currently. That's one of the reasons that my username is the thing. Mike needs a plan. Kind of a call out to the universe of like, I lost 110 pounds, but I'm still figuring this thing out. I still need a plan. And if you're living your life right, you should be too.
And just finding the plan is it's just difficult. Because I get so many people like send me messages and stuff. Like, I want a rubric. They ask, like, I want an exact plan. And I'm like, I can't give that to you. Like, I'd love to know, you know, exactly what to tell you, but I don't. And you don't. Like, no, it's finding that out. It just takes time and a lot of trial and error.
I always say, like, I'm somebody that loves broccoli. There's a lot of people that don't like broccoli. A plan, there you go. Mike does not like broccoli. Mike likes bananas.
And banana Laffy Taffy.
And banana Laffy Taffy, there you go. So yeah, a plan for me is going to include a fair amount of broccoli, carrots, peas, all these vegetables. I love vegetables. It's not going to include a lot of fruit. I'm not a big fruit person. If I try to give that plan to you, are you going to be able to follow that?
No. It would be great. I mean, yeah, if you were to follow my plan exactly and you stuck to it, you'd probably get decent results. It's just a matter of
Do you help other people then, Mike, with like, do you coach other people right now? Or is it?
I
mean, just kind of curious. Like, I love to just ask people who coach others, like, what are general things you see that, you know, it's something that works for people that makes them, helps them in some way? Just like, is there just any general trends?
So most people that come to me know they're not getting a meal plan. They're not getting an exercise plan. Like, they're familiar with my content. So they know that we're looking to try to get to the root of the human being that's sitting in front of me.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. I'm not giving them stuff to do immediately. We're just talking about, like, where do you come from? What are your eating habits like? Why are they like that? And we start, it's half, you know, weight loss stuff and half therapy in a way.
A food therapist than a nutritionist.
And also, I should not be prescribing meal plans. There's a lot of people prescribing meal plans that shouldn't be, because I'm not allowed to be prescribing meal plans.
I know in the United States, it's illegal to give people the exact foods to eat unless you're a registered dietitian, then you can. But you can do like macro, what's it called?
Yeah.
You can basically give them a certain number of like protein and this to eat, and then you can kind of go from there. But telling people exactly what to eat is actually illegal.
A diet plan is actually considered a medical prescription.
I help people with calories. I help them figure out, like, here's roundabout how many calories you need, and we'll assess as we go. And it's very generous. The calculator that I use is much higher than pretty much any other calculator out there. It's the I mention this one all the time because I think it's great. The Total Daily Energy Expenditure Calculator on calculator.net. It is the one calculator I've found that has no financial incentive to see you drop scale weight because they're not selling anything. I've seen some calculators that are like, there's this one calculator that was for breastfeeding mothers. And I typed it in because I'm like, let's see what it, and it was like 1,100 calories. Oh, so there is not one breastfeeding mother on this planet right now, unless you're birds don't breastfeed. Something, a small animal that I'm at a lack of, a squirrel maybe. They're small enough that that would be okay.
Whatever for a human. Nipples. Something that has nipples. Yes. A small thing with nipples. That's
for a
Please,
human person.
Parents, do not do that. That's a great way to give your child malnutrition.
Yeah, you shouldn't be in a calorie deficit breastfeeding, really.
Yeah, no, you should not. So then you kind of talk with them. Is it more of just kind of like talking with them, like, what are the foods that they like and, you know, how can they incorporate those? And like, what are some more nutrient dense, lower calorie options, how to get those in the diet, that sort of thing, I'm assuming?
Yeah, we talk about that. I'm good one-on-one with nutritional. Like, I could have a conversation with you guys off camera on nutrition and be totally fluent. I don't get into that super too much with clients because, again, it's not my place. But I'll talk to them about the importance of fiber, the importance of protein. Right. We'll talk about why the macros matter and how many of them you need, why we need dietary fats.
Yeah, the basics.
Yeah,
right.
The basics. And I will direct them to resources that are approved by us, not approved by the other guy. Which, by the way, can really quick, Liam, for my mom who's concerned every time that I call someone out on the internet, can you tell my mom it's not illegal to call Bobby out for being wrong?
I will tell you, anyone, this is America, and you can sue anyone for anything. However, unless you are saying something that is just, that you know for certain is false, that you are calling them a murderer, or
in which
whatever.
Case it's slander.
Yeah, yeah. Slander. Like, yeah, there's nothing they can do.
No, you're just showing
you can sue somebody, but that doesn't mean the suit will win.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
No, you're showing his videos and you're saying, here's what the science is.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not liable in any capacity. But anyway, we will talk a lot about hunger signals, because that was something that was really important to me, was recognizing when it was that I was hungry and what the difference between just like being bored and being hungry is. And you would think that's not an impactful change, but that was one of the most impactful changes for me, because I was a huge binge eater. Anyone listening right now, I promise you, whatever you think that you've done that you feel guilty about, I've done worse. I used to go to Papa John's fairly regularly. And I would get a large meat lover's pizza and I would tell them not to slice it. And then I would bring it into my car and I would roll it up like a burrito and eat it in my car. And I had McDonald's twice more that day. That was my pizza burrito in between. Yeah, it was 4,500 calories all in. You cannot possibly tell me it was carbs making me fat.
It's carbs are a part of the 4,500 calories.
Yeah, a part of it. Yeah, there are carbs in that 4,500 calories. But if I had cut out the carbs and just eaten like 3,000 calories of cheese and sausage, I'm still going to gain weight. Carnivores.
Yeah, that's what comes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of these come down to is, you know, pizza's bad, burgers are bad, yada, yada. It's like they just have more calories, and figuring out how to work them into your diet is what's important, and not eating them like a burrito in your car. Like, that's, you know, these are the things we need to focus on.
See, I tell that story to people sometimes and they think that's the time that you must have realized something was wrong, right? No, I was eating that under the sun. Like,
that was a happy memory.
Yeah. Those are some, like, I can't wait for my pizza burrito in here. Like, I'm excited for it. But yeah, it's not that. It's not. And it's capitalism dictates that we create a boogeyman and make you afraid of it to sell you a solution. That's the way that it goes. So it's a lot easier to say, here's this evil thing, come and buy my thing and your thing will change. It's a lot harder to tell people they can do this alone. They don't need to buy anything from me. They don't need to be coached by me. There are plenty of people that I will never work with that message me and say, you know, I lost 50 pounds because I've been watching your videos. Thank you so much. And like, that's what it's about for, I think, all of us, is just when people reach out and they're like, you helped me. You know, it's my life is different now.
That's honestly the only reason I'm still doing it.
Mm. Oh, there's barely any other reason to do it at this point.
Well, yeah, I don't even get paid.
It's rough. It really is.
And it's so, because I'm just thinking about it because it's so tough for people because it's not like this happened overnight for them. They've had years, decades of people cementing these ideas in their head, and it's not going to be overdone and it's not going to be fixed. It's not going to be fixed in one night. Right. So that's why, you try and make, I have to say the same things over and over. And I do, I say the same things over and over because people need to hear them over and over. And it's just like, we do it a lot on this podcast because we have to. I mean, it's the simple things. It's trying to get more fiber into your diet. It's trying to get more protein, trying to get more activity in any way you can. It doesn't matter. And doing that in a way that actually is sustainable, you know?
Did any of you think that we were going to have careers defending this bullshit right here, this Laffy Taffy? Like, we're not saying only eat this. And obviously, Liam will not defend this. But we're not saying just have a diet entirely of Laffy Taffy when we say it's fine if you want to have one.
And now we're actually fighting, like, it seems like we're fighting multiple battles, because I don't know if you saw Washington Post, I think it was. I don't remember exactly.
It's always Washington Post.
It's usually them.
Fucking rag.
They released another article saying dietitians are defending junk food, essentially. And, you know, talking about, and it's very frustrating because what we are is really just kind of the anti-diet culture that saying you can't have those foods. And if the only thing someone does is defend Cheetos and Oreos and those sorts of things, I understand how someone could think that person is promoting them. But, like, we're really just trying to tell people, Like, you don't have to fear foods, because that sucks. Like, it's just, it's debilitating to always be worried about the foods you're eating. And a lot of people are. I know some others brush those off like, oh, they're just being soft, blah, 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 blah. Like, a lot of people really are scared. Like, and, you know, just trying to alleviate that and just incorporate more balance in a more reasonable way. That's all.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that we're also combining that message with the eat things in moderation, with the eat up plenty of whole foods in your diet.
I consider my place in the food chain here, for lack of a better term, getting people prepared to hear the real information, because I'm not giving complex dietary information. I'm not giving the stuff that dietitians will eventually give people, but I want to make, I want to try to rewrite the negative self-talk. I want to rewrite all of the myths that have been instilled in us for so long to try to stoke the weight loss industry, so that these people, once they do go to dietitians and they tell them you need more complex carbs in your diet, you're allowed to have fats and you're allowed to have all this stuff that you cut out, like you're allowed to have potatoes, they will take that information and improve their lives through it.
What do you guys find that works for you? Like, for, in order, how do we get people to kind of unwind a lot of that diet culture, the advice that they've heard over decades? Like, what kind of, what have you seen that works? For me, honestly, and it's a little strange, but like kind of pointing out this fact that a lot of the people giving the advice have ulterior motives. They are selling some other sort of thing. I think that helps out a lot in just telling people like, hey, you see how they're advising this thing, right? Did you notice they also sell something that helps with that? And people are like, oh shit, they totally do. Like, this is all just to make money. And I think that helps people a little bit. I don't know. Like, how do we do that? Like, how do we get people to, you know, to...
A lot of the people that have these kinds of notions are often the same kinds of people that are like, you know, big pharma and all that kind of stuff. It, there's big corporations out to get us. They want to take advantage of us. You point out that the same people who are really instilling that message are also trying to take advantage of you and look towards like, hey, I'm not currently selling anything right now. I do have coaching, but all of the stuff that I'm going to give in my coaching is widely available here on my page. It's just not going to be targeted towards you specifically. I offer the execution of the information to people, the individualization, but there's no paywall. There's no secret. It's all out there. I think one of the best ways we can do this is just make the information as freely available as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's the main foundation for my content, would be trying to simplify the science so that it's more accessible for people.
Right.
And sliding into the frame really cool.
That too. And you don't want to know how I do that.
And so that's basically where I've kind of landed on my content, is trying to do equal parts. Hey, that person is a shitbag trying to scare you in order to sell something. Equal parts. Hey, carrots are cool. Like, you don't have to eat them just like out of the bag, you know, or whatever. You can
Unless you're Rob.
you can add things or whatever. Like, you can just do simple shit. It's not rocket surgery here.
Liam and I will be streaming and I'll have he'll be eating like some fun snacks and I'll have a bag of carrots that I'm just munching on.
I for me, it's so tough. Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking now, because like I do kind of try and point out these other like little interesting snacks and whatnot that have a little bit more fiber. Because again, man, it's so tough. It's just all about this balance of like, okay, so these snacks have more protein and more fiber, but like also you still should be focusing on whole foods. Okay, how do you do that? Okay, so first thing you're going to do is try and make this recipe and meal prep it. And then you have that. And then you can add things to that when it's ready. That's are super simple. And it's just balancing all these things. Like you're, I love what you said, you know, it's still a work in progress. I don't know the fuck I'm doing. I know I have a general idea of what I want to accomplish. How do I do that? I don't really know, but I'm doing the best I can in order to balance this information for people to say, hey, calm the fuck down about this. Just focus more on the basic shit. It's fine. That is my short rant there.
That might be some of the best information right there. Just calm the fuck down. there's a lot of hype and a lot of fear and all sorts of stuff stoking us into buying these things out of, you know, an emergency complex in our heads. And it's just not that way. This whole thing takes time. And I know that it's difficult to take
a lot
that
of time. Mistakes are made through impulse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Too many impulses. You know, those impulses could be large in the sense of putting yourself on a terribly unsustainable diet, or just an impulse in the moment where you're feeling terrible and you turn to food to try to solve that.
And I think that's where a lot of people can find success, is in some form of planning, because we all know, like I've got a daughter, I've got, you know, a bunch of shit going on. It's tough. You want to have some sort of, you don't have to have an exact plan. You don't need to fucking meal prep every single meal throughout the day, all these things, but just to have something in place that you know you can go to. Like for me, I'm just fucking basic. So like I grab like a sweet potato, I microwave it, I add beans that are like pre-seasoned in the can. Oh my God, the sodium, I'm probably gonna die, whatever. I add that, I add like corn or whatever, some cheese, like simple shit, like just knowing something I can just throw that and have it ready helps me from being like, okay, I'm just going to eat, you know, whatever other high calorie option there is.
I'm starting to teach modular plans. So I want people to, this is something that I talk about in my coaching, where I've got sort of like a list of meal modules in my head that I can build a day out of. So I've got like a predetermined amount of meals that I know that I can make with the ingredients that I currently have in my home. And I usually tend to have the same things every day because I'm profoundly autistic.
Most of us do. Most, right? Yeah. Most of us like same thing. We like what we like, right?
We just, yeah. I like what I like. And I really just, I enjoy it that way. I enjoy the things that I eat so much that I continue to eat them. And that's something that you need to do, is enjoy your process. And one of the ways you can do that is just have a bunch of meals that, like, you know, you can make right now.
Yeah.
Make them easy. My dinner that I've been having every night for a year and a half, I am neurotic, is one pot takes 15 minutes. If it was any harder than that, I might not do it. So find easy meals and just sort of plug them into your day. It's have a couple of lunches, have a couple of breakfasts that you know that you can switch on to, and just pop them in, build a day from it. Don't be wondering what you're going to eat, because while
that's
you're wondering.
Exactly, yeah. Because when you're just like, oh, I'll figure it out later. What you're going to figure out is to order something from somewhere, right? Like that's what you're going to figure out.
Which is not a problem, but decide that.
In the if it happens all the time, you know, that's going to lead generally to excess calories, right? So like just have something. And that's why I try and show so many different like little recipes and try and keep it simple, you know?
Those have been really cool. One of my little tricks that isn't actually specifically food related, but in regards to like people ask me, how do I stay so calm with everything? How do I know so much? All these things. It's because whenever I'm presented with something, whenever somebody's arguing against me, whenever, you know, these things pop up, I suppress that initial impulse to react.
Yeah.
And I take the time and I just, you know, I just have that Zen moment, calm down, or sorry, got to put it like Liam says, calm the fuck down.
Calm the fuck down.
Calm the fuck down. You take that minute, just calm the fuck down, wait until you can think rationally and then process.
A lot of us process while we're eating in the beginning. Like I know that I would sort of accompany every emotion, happy, sad, scared, confused, whatever it was, horny, with food. And
horny with food, eh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast episode. But
that's a whole nother website.
Yeah, you guys will see that content here very soon. we're all looking for money. Thanks, Creator Program. I'll often describe emotional eating as an EpiPen. This is sort of unpopular, so you're going to get the inside scoop here. I believe there is a function for emotional eating. Every once in a while, it does occasionally happen after a funeral. I'm not going to blame anybody for emotionally eating then. But if you're stabbing yourself with an EpiPen before you go outside to deal with seasonal allergies, we got to look into it and figure out what's going on. So yeah, there's a part of it where we're going to be like, yeah, I need that like in those very special moments. But a lot of us are not it's either it's not happening that much, those hard moments, or we're finding hard moments and making them harder to justify it.
Yeah. So basically, emotional eating in response to a stressor, like somebody dying, something major happening in your life, like you said, it's just one of the ways that we can calm ourselves down, obviously. But if you're emotional eating because you're constantly stressed, well, then you're not, there's not a specific thing you're responding to. You're just kind of in a state in your life where you need to, something's wrong. You need to fix something there.
We have to solve the stress. It could be that you're in a job that sucks, and it might not be easy to leave right now, but you can go eventually. You can put the plans in place to make that happen, and it can happen. Some of you, and this is going to be hard, you might be in a relationship that's not good for you right now.
And I need to say what I find that it's so difficult. We see a lot of these people. So we've all, talk about the grocery store walkers, as we'll generally call them. It's always one thing with them, and that makes it so simple. Whether it's, sugar, seed oils, doesn't matter really. You could narrow it down to whatever and find research to support it. That makes it very simple and easy for them. They just say it over and over and over in every video. And we repetition works for us, right? Like you get told something over and over and over again, it sits with you. So that works really well for them, right? But when you... But it's just not true. Like it's not true that one thing is the problem. It rarely is in anything. It's especially not true in nutrition. So when you see that and you're like, okay, how do we actually solve the problem? All right, well, that's complex as fuck because everyone is different. And I can't just tell you it's this one thing. It's probably multiple things just for you that are causing the issue, and you have to address each of them. And that's a tough thing to tell people because then they're like, oh, what are those things? I'm like, I can't tell you I don't know. And that's why we're all a fucking work in progress, is we're figuring it out. But people don't respond as well to that. Like, I want one reason that you can yell at me with your shirt off as to why that's the problem. And I just I can't, I'm sorry. Like you have to go through a lot of trial and error to figure each of those things out. And once you do, you will be much happier for that. But it's going to take some time.
It does. Yeah. That's what I do with my clients. We work one-on-one to try to figure out what it is that has gotten us to where we're at. And I give them my own experience. They give me theirs. We share that and we build a plan together. We build whatever their plan's going to be. And it's not easy. And like I said before, there's a lot of tears. It gets somber. We get deep. We share some stuff that we've never shared with other people before. Because some people come to me and they've never gotten to talk about anything. And that's one of the reasons that we end up putting weight on. It's like we're just eating our feelings because we can't get them out anywhere. Yeah. So that alone helps. But my big thing, the thing that I latch on to, because I've also got one thing that I keep saying over and over again, though it's a more positive one. It's the be kind to yourself message that I'm always putting out there. I think that everything that I talk about is a way to be kind to yourself. It all sort of fits under that umbrella. And if you can find a way to do that, because a lot of us are engaging in self-destructive behaviors and harming ourselves. If we can find ways to be kinder to ourselves, everything else comes much easier.
A nice somber, quiet moment from that thought.
Yeah, I'm not as yelly this one just because I really want to figure all of this out and it's fucking hard. it's complex. Like, how do you, you're talking to thousands of people. Mm-hmm. How can you give the most useful information? Nothing's ever going to be perfect, and figuring that out is just difficult.
there's that calories in, calories out chart, and it's got calories in, calories out in the middle, but then there's like hundreds of things around it that flow into it.
What the best way I've surmised that I can help the most people, because I don't know everybody.
Right.
Obviously, we can't. We both, all of us, three of us have large followings. You guys much larger than I. We can't reach everybody. So instead of giving really pointed advice, I ask questions. Hmm. I will start one of my videos right now that's going pretty viral. I start the video by saying, you don't deserve to talk to yourself the way that you do. You know that. And it's just a bunch of people in the comments telling me, like, I go on to ask, whose voice is it? It's not yours. You didn't decide to talk to yourself the way that you do. That was put into your brain by someone in your life. Who was it? So it's just thousands of comments of people telling me who it was that programmed their internal monologue. That's a place to start. And there are people that video has been out for a month or two now. And people are sending me DMs and being like, that was what I needed. Yeah. To start, like, I didn't know I needed to ask myself that question. I thought I was just unjustly cruel to myself. I thought I deserved it. But now that I'm looking back, it was, you know, it was some kid at school, or it was my parents, or it was grandparents, or whoever it might be.
One thing I've told people is that sometimes it does come down to talking to somebody, seeing therapy, stuff like that. And this is a prime example. Mm-hmm.
I think I just reverse engineered therapy. I didn't come up with anything interesting here. I'm a fraud. I tell people
all
too,
you did. Yeah. All you did was treat people with kindness.
Huh? What a fucking novel idea. How cool would that be if we could just in the weight loss industry stop fucking hating people? Yeah. There are people that come to me. Can we talk about this for a second? How wildly homophobic the weight loss space is for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, homophobia is rampant everywhere. But like, especially here, and every once in a while, I'll post a video real quick. I'm like, hey, by the way, I accept you for who you are, no matter who you are. And I lose like 3,000-4,000 followers in a day.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys, yep. You both know how it is, especially you, Rob. You know what it is. It's you just say something that should be common sense and people dip. They're like, oh, I can't believe you're getting political. This is not political. This is, we're human beings.
Human rights is not political.
It's not political. It's not a political issue to decide whether or not someone gets to live. And for that reason alone, like, people come to my page just because I don't hate them away. There's no reason.
And it's ridiculous that these people, it's ridiculous, but also hilarious that these people think that calling you gay or whatever is an insult. You know, you got these people that are homophobic and they come into the comment section and, dude, you're so gay or whatever. It's like, I mean, I'm not, but that's also not an insult. I don't know what you're going for here. Like, if I was gay, what would it matter?
It's not 2004 anymore. Things have changed a little bit. We don't use that word the way that they used to use it. I don't know. I don't get it.
But it's just a lot of people just have anger and they don't even realize it was placed on them and now they place it on other people. So,
the three of us are targets for that all the time. We get comments in our feeds all the time of people just gearing their hatred towards us. And
right,
I realized
they have hatred. Like those people, when I see hatred like that, I'm like, oh, your life is tough right now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's honestly what I see is like, oh, you are angry. You're just an angry individual and you're trying to get rid of some of that. And so you're sending it my way. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. No. But like, it sucks that you're dealing with that. Hopefully you find a way to deal with it in a better way in the future.
Maybe stop listening to Tom McDonald.
Tom McDonald.
Yeah. Oh, God. Tom McDonald. Jeez.
So you should get him on the show. To everybody listening, I'd say just...
Oh, God.
Because what did I say earlier? People need to hear this, you know, the same thing over and over, okay? Be kind to yourself. Understand you're a fucking work in progress. It's fine. You're going to fuck up. It's okay. I think people need to hear over and over that it's okay that you fucked up. I fuck up on a daily basis. It's whatever. He figures it out. Be kind to yourself. You know, try and get Mike. He calls his whole thing. Mike needs a plan. We all need a plan, right? So try and figure out a plan that works for you in a way that is sustainable. And just, again, be kind to yourself when it's not perfect. It's okay. It's okay.
I think it's only really a fuck up if you double down on it, especially when it comes to just diet stuff that you're doing for yourself. Like, yeah, there are going to be days that aren't perfect, but what is perfect other than the pursuit of being better? I think that's really what perfect is. Some of you are doing perfection perfectly right now by doing nothing, because perfection only exists in theory. So do something. And if you don't do it 100%, it doesn't matter. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you fuck up and you take the opportunity to learn from it and grow, then it's not a fuck up. It's a learning experience.
And that brings us to our final message that we say over and over. Don't be your worst. That is where just don't be your worst. You don't have to be your absolute best. That who, what is the best? Who knows? Whatever. Don't be your worst. Just try.
The bar is in hell, everyone. Embrace it.
If you want to see a lot of fuck ups, come watch me and Liam stream Baldur's Gate and Liam yell at me for the amount of times I go to pickpocket or steal things and get caught and aggro an entire room.
Listen, I go to the bathroom, I come back, we're almost dead. I don't know even what's going on. Okay?
Maybe because someone vital to the operation went to the bathroom.
Yes. Rob is constantly being his worst, and I tell him over and over to not be that thing, and we're working on it. We're getting there.
You got to do it like
either that or I bribe them with half the spoils.
You got to do it like that South Park episode where they're playing Warcraft. And they've got that battle station set up.
If you haven't seen that, go watch it. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. But Mike, make sure you tell people, because we always forget where to find you, all your handles, those sorts of things.
Oh, I don't want them to find me. I'm quitting. Okay. You can find me at Mike Needs a Plan on Instagram and TikTok. You can get my free How to Be Kind to Yourself guide, because some people will ask me, how do you be kind to yourself? Because you say it in every video. So I made a guide about it. So stop asking. Go to mikesplan.com. Mike Needs a Plan was bought under me by a scalper and was tried to they tried to sell it back to me. So instead of Mike Needs a Plan, now I could have allowed that to destroy me. I could have allowed that to be like, well, it's, I guess you're done. You can't have a website anymore because you can't have Mike Needs a Plan. I think Mike's Plan is a better website name. So it is mikesplan.com. You can get my free kindness guide. Overcome anything. Be kind to yourself. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Don't forget, if you want to find Mike on OnlyFans, it's Mike Needs an Apple Pie.
I need a paycheck is what I need right now. That's why we're all struggling.
Hey, wasn't that a great time? Listen to the podcast. You were just, I'm assuming you knew, or you were just listening to In Moderation. So if you go ahead and hit the 5-star button, is that a thing? The like button?
That's a thing.
No. Yep. The like button 5 on stars. YouTube. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Not the dislike button. That's a bad button. The
bad
like button. Hit all the other buttons, the share, you can go check out
all those things.
Subscribe. Go check out our Patreon. Yeah. We do have a Patreon. It's free to join if you want, or you could give us money. That'd be really cool. Like $1 or $2. It doesn't matter. Whatever you have.
That's where you'll find all the news for this.
We're super appreciative. You can find all sorts of other stuff there. We do giveaways, I think, sometimes, all that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So peace.